Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. It is Sunday, May 8th, 2022. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Text me to let me know you're listening and to share what time it is where you are. Our PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. For example, you might text, "Hey, Dr. Nicole, it's John, and it's 10 a.m. here in Sacramento, California." Again, our PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. I'd love to know that you're listening and to get you on our listeners board. It is 2:01 a.m. in Beijing, China, 3:01 a.m. in Tokyo, Japan, 5:01 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, 10:01 a.m. in Vancouver, Canada, 12:01 p.m. in Garland, Texas, the physical home of PGN. It is 6:01 p.m. in Lagos, Nigeria, 6:01 p.m. in London, England, 7:01 p.m. in Berlin, Germany, 8:01 p.m. in Israel's Mount Megiddo, the site of the upcoming Battle of Armageddon, and 9:01 p.m. in Moscow, Russia. And it is also time to focus on the dead judged prophecy. Today I'm going to focus on the dead judged statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, which is the first statement of prophecy in the new heaven, new earth, and eternities of eternities portion of the book of Revelation. This month of May 2022, exciting and insightful presentations focused on answers to specific questions from the book of Revelation. Research scientists are happening live on PGN on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central Time and Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Central Time. So listen, text, or call during our live presentation and discussion. You may text in your questions for me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist, 24/7. Our PGN text number that you can use 24/7 is 1-214-505-8719. I'll be taking your calls live at the top of the upcoming hour. Our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. I think that many of our longtime listeners know, but in case you don't know, you can listen live to the broadcast, and when you call our phone number, you can simply be listening on your landline or your cell phone or whatever phone that you're using. Maybe it's a Google phone number, and you press 1 if you have a question or you have a comment. But if you don't press 1, your hand's not raised, and then so I will never call on you. Our practice at PGN is to allow people to listen. You may not wish to talk. Maybe you're new to PGN or you're new to this particular program, and so that's fine. I'm so happy that you're here. Again, if you would like to listen by phone or you want to call in to pose a question or perhaps you have a prayer request, you can call. We are live. Our phone number is 1-319-527-6027. There are calls. I will take them at the top of the upcoming hour. So today, in this talk, I am focusing on the dead judged prophecy, specifically answering these questions for us as your Book of Revelation research scientists. What does God say about being immortal? What is the Book of Life? What is Judgment Day? Will every person who ever lived be restored to life and live again? What is the second death? Is it possible to avoid death? What is the secret and true meaning of the words asleep, death, and the dead? why is there a great white throne judgment? And most importantly, who will be judged at the great white throne judgment? These are questions that we are focusing on this month of May as I share and we talk about the dead judged prophecy. So for today, I want to begin with a prayer for you and over you from Revelation 1:3. It says, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation of the Bible, "Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart. For the time for them to be fulfilled is near. Today I declare over you, according to the word of God, that you are blessed, happy to be envied, because today you will hear the word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and you will keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them, laying them to your heart, because the time for them to be fulfilled is indeed near." Awesome. So let's begin with an important question. What does God say about immortality? In the Bible, God communicates that, number one, immortality is a blessing. Also, immortality is one of many blessings that a believer and follower of Jesus Christ will experience as a part of eternal life. A third thing is that he will give eternal life to those who by patient persistence and well-doing seek unseen but sure glory and honor and the eternal blessedness of immortality. Let's go to the Bible and look at that scripture. In Romans 2:7, it says, "To those who by patient persistence and well-doing, springing from piety, seek unseen but sure glory and honor and the eternal blessedness of immortality, he will give eternal life." There it is, friend. Eternal blessedness of immortality. God is interested in immortality. He is focused on it. He has a plan for it. It is God's best for you. What else does the Bible tell us about immortality? And so we're getting some background about immortality so that we have context for the dead judged prophecy in the book of Revelation that we're going to focus on. The Bible also communicates that immortality is an eventual, known, and sure pathway for those who have been made righteous and brought into right relationship with God by payment of their sin debt with the blood of Jesus Christ. Also, righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ is life because there is immortality, no death for those who are in Christ. In other words, there is no second death for those who are restored to life at the time of the first resurrection. That's the earth's crop discussed in the Lamb Stood prophecy in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. Let's look at Proverbs 12, verse 28. "Life is in the way of righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. And in its pathway, there is no death but immortality, perpetual eternal life." Let's hear that again. So we're listening for what does God say about immortality? And we need to understand this in order to have context for the dead judged prophecy. So what does God say about immortality in Proverbs 12:28? God tells us life is in the way of righteousness. And how can you be made righteous? In Romans 5:9, it says, "Therefore, since we are now justified, acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood." And so God is a God of justice. a God of fairness, a God of vindication, and the Bible tells us that when we sin, there must be a payment for that. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, the soul that sinneth shall die. And so, on our account, and each of us has an account, each of us has a case, every sin is recorded unless and until we accept payment for our sin debt. There's only one perfect payment for your and my past, present, and future sins. Now, do you want to sin? I'm guessing that the answer is certainly not. Will you sin again? My guess is the answer is you certainly will. And I certainly will. I'm doing my best, and I'm sure you are doing your best, but we live in the age where Satan is the ruler of this age. Men and women are inspired by Satan unless they have submitted to the will of God, unless they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The world is under a curse, and so sin is commonplace. So if we are sinners, how can we be in right standing with God? Our sins can be blotted out. Payment can be made in the same way that if a person goes to court and there's a judgment, that judgment must be executed. Perhaps there's a fine. Perhaps there's some other thing, incarceration, or maybe there's a combination of both. In the same way, we all have a case. And that case has to do with what happened in the entirety of our life. So if you are on the earth, you have sinned, and those sins are recorded until they are recorded, until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then they are blotted out. When Jesus died on the cross, that was payment. He took on our sin. So that was payment for our past, present, and future sin. So why do we care about that? Why does that matter? It matters because, as it says here in Proverbs 12, verse 28, life is in the way of righteousness. So how can you be made righteous? Again, from Romans 5, 9, therefore, since we are now justified, acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood. So what does that really get you, right relationship? One thing that it gets you, certainly not the only thing, but a key thing that it gets you is, quote, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, in its pathway, there is no death, but immortality, perpetual, eternal life. So God is saying immortality is an eventual, known, and sure pathway. It's a sure outcome for those who have been made righteous and brought into right relationship with God by payment of their sin debt with the blood of Jesus Christ and the acceptance of that payment. So when you repent of your sins, and if you've never done that before, I encourage you to do that. Repent of your sins. And then when you say, Jesus, I know you died on the cross for me, and I accept your payment for my sin debt, that payment goes onto your account. That's recorded. That is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what we talked about last week. If you haven't heard that, please go back to listen to that program. It focused on the Book of Life, but today we are focusing on some additional aspects. So there's no second death for those who are restored to life at the time of the first resurrection. We're going to talk more about that when we get into the dead judge prophecy. Let's continue with what does God say about immortality? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it says, in part, our Savior Christ Jesus annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Our Savior Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality. So what does it mean to annul? It means, number one, to declare or make legally invalid or void. For example, a person says, I want the marriage annulled. So the marriage has already happened, but the person wants it annulled, declared or made legally invalid or void. So in this way, unless we are here at the time of the second coming, we will experience the first death, yet Jesus has annulled death and made it of no effect. Well, how is that possible? If somebody has died, how has it made it legally invalid or void? Because every person who has ever existed on the earth, with the exception of the Antichrist, will be restored to life again. So either a person is restored to life again at the time of the second coming, or a person is restored to life again after the 1,000 years that begins at the time of the second coming. So when we look at this prophecy, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to look at the dead judged prophecy in the book of Revelation. We will see that there are two deaths. There's the first death and the second death. So what else does it mean to annul? A second definition is to reduce to nothing, to obliterate. How can Jesus Christ reduce to nothing death? He does it this way, and it's coming up in your future. When a person experiences the first death and dies in Jesus Christ, in right standing with God, having repented of his or her sins, having accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and having been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, returned to sonship, that person is guaranteed, scheduled, to receive a perfect, glorified body at the time of the second coming, a physical, tangible body, perfected DNA. So in that way, death occurred, but it was reduced to nothing because the person is restored to life again for eternity. The person is restored to a physical body, a perfect body, an incorruptible body, an imperishable body, an immortal body. In that way, death has been obliterated. So again, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it says in part, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, our Savior, Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, God's plan for you, his perfect plan for you, is immortality. You get to decide if you want to go with God's plan or you want to go your own way. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we are talking about what God says about immortality. It is possible to put on immortality. The mortal part of every person who is acquitted and made in right relationship with God will put on immortality, which is to exist within your self-same perfected physical body, a glorified body. Now you say, Dr. Nicole, what are you talking about? Your body and my body and every person's body who exists on the earth since the time of Adam and Eve, that body is not perfect. It is subject to corruption. It decays. It perishes because of sin. And it's only gotten worse over time. And so there are errors in our DNA because of sin, because of the curse. However, God's plan is for you to have a perfect body with perfect DNA. And what that looks like is your body being immortal. So at this point in time, you might be riddled with a horrible disease. You might have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, or maybe you say, I don't have a horrible disease, but my knees hurt. Yeah, I've noticed that I have a lot of gray hair. I don't move as fast as I used to. I see I'm winding down. Friend, you're not winding down. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're winding up. You're winding up. You haven't reached your peak. You say, well, Dr. Nicole, what do you mean? Your peak will never be reached because eternal life is what God has planned for you. Now, you get to decide, do you want eternal life or do you want to be judged at the time of the great white throne judgment? So if you are in Christ, your perfect, incorruptible body is guaranteed. It is coming. You will have legs that will never tire. You'll be able to run like the wind if you want to do that. Perhaps you say, you know, I've never been able to see perfectly. I wish I could just have perfect vision. Perfect vision is on the agenda for you. You say, I've struggled all my life with depression or anxiety, or I was diagnosed with a personality disorder, or I've been battling cancer and it's come back a second time and I feel tired. Well, I believe God heals the sick, and I also know for a fact that if you are in Christ, your perfect incorruptible body is on schedule. You are guaranteed to have it. If you are victorious, you persist to the end of your life, and you are in Christ, and your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what's the take-home point? We're talking about, what does God say about immortality? God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53, for this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. That's in your Holy Bible. That's in my Holy Bible. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. It's in all the translations. It is a guarantee. So God is telling us it is possible to put on immortality, and it is his will. It is one of many wonderful things in his perfect plan for you. His plan is for you to put on immortality, freedom from death. You will escape the second death. What else does God say? You should seek immortality. There are divine penalties that exist, and one of the divine penalties is a second death. Let's look at some scripture as we get context, moving into looking at the dead judged prophecy in the book of Revelation. But right now we're focusing on what does God say about immortality, giving us a way to make sure that we understand what we're looking at. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Now to the King of eternity, incorruptible and immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever to the ages of ages. Amen. So be it." And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, the Lord will, it says in part, "The Lord will judge and determine and solve and settle the cause and the cases of his people." And it continues in verse 31, "It is a fearful, formidable, and terrible thing to incur the divine penalties." God talking about with the divine penalties. One of the divine penalties is a second death. So we all have a case. So you say, what are you talking about? We have a case. We all have to account for what has happened in our life. So what does that look like? If you are part of the earth's crop, what Jesus referred to in the parable of the wheat and the tares, in Matthew chapter 24, the wheat refers to those who are in Christ, those who are in right relationship with God through payment of the blood of Jesus, and whose names are therefore recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when your case comes up before God, what happens is that all your sins are blotted out. It says payment in full. I don't know if it literally says that, but essentially God tells us your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that your sins are blotted out, that he shall remember them no more, that you are made free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was much younger, I used to wonder, why are people always talking about Jesus set you free? And I'd be like, set me free from what? Like, I'm here on the earth. It's a lot that I'm enduring. Set you free, we could put many words after that in the sentence, what makes sense. But the most compelling sentence is, Jesus Christ has set you free from the second death. So we're going to look at that second death and what one has to do to make sure that an individual does not have that divine penalty. So, again, we're talking about what does God say about immortality? We've heard many scriptures about immortality, and it is clear that immortality is a part of God's best for his sons and daughters, that immortality is assured for those whose name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that immortality is a blessing, and it's something that we should seek. So you don't work your way into immortality. You don't drink a magical portion. You don't work out and take the best care of your body because then, therefore, it will never corrupt. I do think you should work out and take good care of your body because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit and you'll feel better. However, that's not the way to immortality. Immortality is a part of what happens. It's a part of the pathway, the plan, the outcome for all who are in Christ Jesus. Now, let us get into the book of Revelation. There are 10 statements of prophecy. I want to take a look at the conclusion that has some key information for us. And then let's get into the statements of prophecy and specifically the dead judge prophecy. So it says in Revelation 22, verse 6, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, 'These statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true.'" So we're about to look at a statement of prophecy, and we are told that by John and Jesus are the narrators of the conclusion, the formal conclusion to the book of Revelation in its entirety. There's a formal conclusion. It begins with verse 6 and ends with verse 21 of chapter 22. And John, speaking to us, the reader, says, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, 'These statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true.'" So this conclusion follows a series of prophecies, statements of prophecy. They begin with verse 1 of chapter 5, the first statement of prophecy. It's followed by the second statement of prophecy and the third, and they all continue consecutively. And once the last statement of prophecy is delivered, the conclusion begins. Continuing with verse 6 and reading the conclusion, "And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, had sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit, to make known and to exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass. And behold, I am coming speedily. Blessed, happy, and to be envied is he who observes and lays to heart and keeps the truths of the prophecy, the predictions, consolations, and warnings contained in this little book. And I, John, am he who heard and witnessed these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell prostrate before the feet of the messenger angel who showed them to me, to worship him. But he said to me, 'Refrain, you must not do that. I am only a fellow servant along with yourself and with your brethren, the prophets, and with those who are mindful of and practice the truths contained in the messages of this book. Worship God.' And he further told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book and make no secret of them. For the time when things are brought to a crisis and the period of their fulfillment is near. He who is unrighteous, unjust, wicked, let him be unrighteous still. And he who is filthy, vile, and pure, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, just, upright, and right standing with God, let him do right still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me.'" This is Jesus Christ speaking. I share that both John and Jesus are the narrators of the formal conclusion of the book of Revelation. So here in verses 12 and 13, Jesus Christ speaks directly to us, the reader, and he says, "Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me, to repay and render to each one just what his actions and his own work merit." Jesus, when he returns, for those who are in Christ, we will receive our incorruptible bodies. So what's the disposition of our case? When we come before God, our name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus has paid for our sin debt, and so we are allowed to go free. And beyond that freedom, which says we do not continue to the second death, we are actually restored to life again. And what's our judgment? What's our judgment? The judgment says our sins are blotted out. God says he will remember them no more. And further, in verse 12 here, he says, I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. If you are in Christ, you have wages and rewards that are coming your way. Recall that the Bible says, he who gives to the poor is a lender for the Lord. God says he's going to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. Now, exactly what's included in those rewards and in those wages, I don't know. But imagine this. You and I, we are not, we don't have the mind of God, yet we have given to people wonderful rewards because we love them. No doubt, there's no doubt in my mind that you have given people wonderful gifts, wonderful rewards. Perhaps you're an employer and you pay your employees really well. Maybe as an employee, you have a great job and your wages are really excellent. If that's what can happen from the work of men, imagine what can happen from God. These wages and rewards, I am 100% confident that they are going to be amazing, and God promises that he is going to render to you just what your own actions and your own work merit. So this is the outcome of your judgment. The outcome is that you are restored to life again for the thousand-year millennial reign and eternity, and you are given wages and rewards based on your actions in your life and just what your own work merits. So again, you have a case. The Bible says that there are books, and in your book is the story of your life. We talked about that last week. And so when your case comes up, you're going to get the wages and the rewards. They will be rendered to you. Jesus will repay and render to you just what your own actions and your own work merit. Okay, continuing with what Jesus is telling us, the reader, in the book of Revelation, he says in verse 13 of chapter 22, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the before all and the end of all. Now John comes back in with verses 14 and 15. Blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who cleanse their garments, that they may have the authority and right to approach the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city. But without are the dogs and those who practice sorceries, magic arts, and impurity, the lewd, adulterers, and the murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and deals in falsehood, untruth, error, deception, cheating. Jesus comes back again in verse 16 and says, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger angel to you to witness and to give you assurance of these things for the churches, assemblies. I am the root, the source, and the offspring of David, the radiant and brilliant morning star. The Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christians say, come. And let him who is listening say, come, and let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost. Continuing, and John is narrating again, in verse 18, I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, and we're going to look at the dead judge statement of prophecy. John says in verse 18, in the conclusion of the book of Revelation, verse 18, chapter 22, John is narrating again for us, the reader. He communicates to us, I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions, and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. If anyone shall add anything to them, God will add and lay upon him the plagues, the afflictions, and the calamities that are recorded and described in this book. And if anyone cancels or takes away from the statements of the book of this prophecy, these predictions relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph, together with the consolations and admonitions or warnings pertaining to them, God will cancel and take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the city of holiness, purity, and hallowedness, which are described and promised in this book. He who gives this warning and affirms and testifies to these things says, yes, it is true. And Jesus' last words in the Holy Bible to us are this in verse 20, the last words of Jesus in the Holy Bible, verse 20 of chapter 22, surely I am coming quickly, swiftly, speedily. John concludes the book of Revelation with final words, amen, so let it be. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. The grace, blessing, and favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with all the saints, God's holy people, those set apart for God to be, as it were, exclusively his. Amen, so let it be. Okay, so what do we need from this conclusion to help us understand the dead judged prophecy? We need to recall that it says, and he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine and true. So each statement of prophecy has several prophecies in it. There are 10. They all appear in consecutive order. We're going to look at the dead judged prophecy, getting context to make sure we get everything that we can, that we really understand the context for the important statement of prophecy, the dead judged prophecy in the book of Revelation. Let's look at verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 22, we heard it when we heard the conclusion in its entirety. We need to focus on this important part. Predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. So John says to us, I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy. And then he defines the statements of the prophecy. So a question for us to answer is, what is a statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation? And John defines it for us. He says a statement of prophecy is predictions, consolations, and admonitions. A prediction is a forecast, essentially a calculation of some future event or condition, usually as a result of study and analysis of available pertinent data. So that definition comes from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. So a prediction is a forecast. Now, it says it's a calculation of a future event or condition. So the book of Revelation tells us the future condition of your body. In this dead judge prophecy, we're going to learn about the future condition of the body. It says that usually a prediction, talking about the definition, usually as a result of study and analysis of available pertinent data. We have something better than pertinent data gathered by men and women of the earth. We have data gathered from John as a result of God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him, to disclose and make known to his bondservant certain things which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. And he sent and communicated it through his angel messenger to his bondservant John. So the revelation came from God the Father. It went to Jesus Christ, who was tasked with disclosing and making it known to his bondservants. Jesus sent an angel, and the angel communicated it to John. So what's my take-home point here? You know, when we gather and analyze data as men and women, we could come to a wrong conclusion. God doesn't come to a wrong conclusion. We are told in the book of Revelation, in the conclusion, the first verse of the conclusion, the first thing that John communicates to us in verse 6 of chapter 22, and he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true. So when we look at this dead judged prophecy, we know that the predictions that are included, the forecast about the nature of the body, about immortality, about death, that these are true statements. Now, again, John defines a statement of prophecy as a prediction, consolation, and admonition. What's a consolation? It's a thing or person that makes you feel better when you are unhappy or disappointed. Again, a consolation is a thing or a person that makes you feel better when you are unhappy or disappointed. That definition comes from the Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary. So why might a person feel unhappy or disappointed? Death is not a happy event. I know that from personal experience. If you've lived long enough, you know that from personal experience. God is interested in your grief. God is interested in you being immortal. God is interested in you having eternal life. Not only is he interested in it, he has an obsession with it. It is discussed over and over again in the Bible and Book of Revelation. He took that obsession and created a plan. Why? Because he loves you. He wants to be your God. He wants you to see his face, it tells us in the book of Revelation. He wants you to see his face, and he wants to bring, and he's going to bring, his house to a new earth. So you might say, you know, I'm old. I don't know how much longer I have. Or maybe you're young and you say, well, I'm only 23, but I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. They tell me that I have just a few weeks to live. Well, I believe God heals today. I want you to receive your supernatural healing. I'll pray with you about that if you want prayer for healing. Now, as you know, some people receive a healing and others don't. You say, well, Dr. Nicole, why is that? I don't know. That is an excellent question. I can't wait to find out answers to that question and others that I have. But here's what I know for sure. If you are unhappy about your mortality, if you are unhappy about your mother's mortality, your father's mortality, your child's mortality, there's disappointment there. God knows that, and he has a solution, and his solution is to console you, and not to console you with words that are empty, with promises that are empty, not with a happy story, as in what we might see if we watched a movie that was fiction. God consoles you and me and all of us with genuine and true statements, statements of prophecy. And we're going to look at one of the statements of prophecy And in the book of Revelation, God says Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead, but others will be restored to life again. God says he's going to abolish death. Now, what else is a statement of prophecy? Again, according to John, he gives us a definition in verse 18 of chapter 22. A statement of prophecy is a prediction, a consolation, and an admonition. An admonition is a warning to somebody about their behavior. Now, why do you need a warning about your behavior? And why is it in the last book of the Bible? Because your behavior determines whether you are restored to life again to experience the great white throne judgment. That's option two. Or option one, are you restored to life again because you have received a perfect, imperishable, incorruptible, glorified body, and you will have it as you rule and reign alongside Jesus Christ through the millennial reign and for the eternities of eternity. Now, that seems like an easy decision to make. However, I can't make that decision for you, and you can't make it for me. You have to decide, what is your behavior? Your behavior determines the disposition of your case. We all have a case. Now, God is going to abolish death. You might say, well, are you sure? Absolutely. God is going to abolish death. He's going to abolish death, and his government is going to exist forever and ever. Let's get into the dead judged prophecy. So in our lesson today, we are focused on the dead judged statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It begins in chapter 20, verse 11, and ends with verse 15, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. Now, each statement of prophecy was given to John in a vision, and using words from the Bible as a title, we can think of this as the dead judged prophecy. The prophecy includes an abstract and continued discussion. So God gives us a preview, a movie trailer, if you will, a short summary, and then says, okay, now let me go back and give you more details, fill in the gaps. So the abstract, verses 11 and 12, continued discussion, verses 13, 14, and 15. Let's hear it now. The dead judged prophecy, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, beginning with its first verse, chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done, according to their motives, aims, and works. Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. That is the dead judged prophecy. There are several prophecies within it. Every statement of prophecy is a statement that includes a series of prophecies. So the statement itself, all of the 10 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation have many prophecies within them, but those prophecies hang together. They are part of a specific statement of prophecy. So we're looking at the dead judge statement of prophecy. So who is being judged here? This is the great white throne judgment, and these are those individuals who were not made immortal. In other words, these are those individuals who were not restored to life again at the time of the second coming. And you say, well, Dr. Nicole, how do we know that? In the previous statement of prophecy, the dragon bound, it says in verse 5 of chapter 20, so the statement of prophecy immediately preceding the dead judge prophecy, it says, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So in that statement of prophecy, dragon bound, it's all about what happens in the 1,000 years when Satan is bound in the bottomless pit and Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning for the first 1,000 years after his return, after the Battle of Armageddon has been fought and won. And of course, at the time of his second coming, those who are in Christ are restored to life. But what happens to the remainder of the dead? That's what this prophecy is about. The dead judged prophecy communicates genuine and true statements about what happens to those who die either at the second coming of Jesus Christ, those who are in the troops with the Antichrist, and they're trodden in the wine press. But what about those who are dying every day, people who died 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago? What will happen to them? Every person, with the exception of the Antichrist, in chapter 19, we learn that the Antichrist goes straight to the lake of fire. He will go immediately to the second death at the time of the second coming. However, for everybody else, we are restored to life again, either at time one or time two. So your behavior determines whether you will be made immortal or not. You will definitely be restored to life again. That's a fact. That is a guarantee. In the book of Revelation, we learn that all will be restored to life, with the exception of the Antichrist, who's thrown into the lake of fire. We will be restored to life again either at the time of the second coming, or you will be restored to life at the time of the great white throne judgment after the 1,000-year millennial reign. So you have to decide when you want to be restored to life again. Now, this statement of prophecy, it communicates the reality of what was shared about how Jesus Christ has annulled death. So again, how can he annul death if people are dying every day? So in the same way that a person can be married, and that is a reality, but then it's annulled, so the marriage happened, but now it's been made void. When you are restored to life again, death is made void because you are again in a physical body. And if you are restored to life again at the time of the second coming, you will always have that physical body. You will have it for the eternities of eternity. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life. verse 5, in part, the key point, firstborn of the dead. So if there's a firstborn, that means there have to be others who are also born of the dead. So what does that mean, firstborn of the dead? It says it exactly what it means. First to be brought back to life. So that means there's a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth, and that's you and me. Now, I encourage you to engage in the behaviors that will allow you to continue on to immortality in your perfect body on this same earth during the thousand-year millennial reign, and then also during the time of the new earth, which will exist for the eternities of eternity. Each person gets to decide that for himself or herself. So we began with talking about the question, what does God say about immortality? He says that he's for it. He says that it is his plan. He says that it is an eternal blessing. He says that if you are made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you are guaranteed immortality. And that is good news. That is good news. You are guaranteed immortality. So it is possible to put on immortality, the mortal part of every person who is made, who is acquitted and made right, made in right relationship with God. You're going to get your self-same perfected body. So if you have a question or a prayer request, again, please call in. We are live, 1-319-527-6027. I want to share with you, again, we're talking about the dead judged prophecy. Death is going to be abolished. Death, in fact, has already been abolished. But in the dead judged prophecy, we learn that there are many deaths. You say, well, Dr. Nicole, what are you talking about? There are many deaths. By my tally, and perhaps there are more, but by my tally, there are at least three deaths. Number one, there's the first death that you experience as a mortal human being if you die before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then there's the second death, which we learn about in the dead judged prophecy. It says in verse 14 of chapter 20, this is the second death, the lake of fire. And by the way, about the second death, in verse 6 of chapter 20 in the book of Revelation, it says, blessed, happy to be envied, and holy, spiritually whole of unimpaired innocence and proved virtue is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Again, our behavior determines whether we will take part in the first resurrection or not. If you take part, if you decide you're going to take part in the first resurrection, you are restored to life again at the time of the second coming. Now, why does this matter? Continuing in verse 6 of chapter 20, over them the second death exerts no power or authority. You decide if you are going to avoid the second death. So I said that there are, by my count, at least three deaths. Maybe there are more. Because in verse 14 of chapter 20, in the dead judged prophecy, it says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. So death is going to be abolished. Death will exist no more. All are restored to life again. Restored to life again to have everlasting life in a perfect, incorruptible body, or restored to life again and thrown in the lake of fire, which is the second death. So each of us gets to decide, when do we want to be restored to life again? Okay. Now, this third thing, Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. I love that death is going to be abolished. And I want us to really get a hold of that. And I see that we have a question. Let me go to our question. We have a good time. 941, I see your hand is raised. I'm going to come to you now. 941, what's your name and where are you calling from? Nine four one 524, I see you, and I've unmuted you. Can you hear me, 941? Okay, I see your hand raised. I want to thank you for being with us. If you are speaking, I can't hear you, 941. Okay. I think there's a way to call. Okay, let me come back to you, 941. I see your hand raised. I'll come back to you in just a moment. Okay, so death will be abolished. Let us get a hold of that reality. In 1 Corinthians, let us hear what it says about that. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, it says, the last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. I love this scripture. There's a promise in this scripture. So we know there's the first death, there's the lake of fire, and then there's the death of death. So once death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire, they will not exist anymore. Now, following this statement of prophecy, we get the statement of prophecy about the new earth and the new heaven. Well, how can we have a new earth? Because at this point, there's no longer any sin. Every person who refused to repent of their sins and get in right standing with God, all those individuals are in the lake of fire. Satan is annihilated at that point, is thrown into the lake of fire. And so God is in a position to create, to resurrect, to perfect and give us a perfect earth. The earth is so perfect and he loves us so much that he moves his home in heaven, and you know it's fantastic. He brings his home onto the earth and he merges the Jerusalem, a physical location in heaven, he merges that onto the new earth. Okay. Let's talk about this: how death is going to be abolished, because that is something that is, it is normal for us to grieve, to mourn, to really be haunted by the reality of our inevitable death, unless we are here at the time of the second coming. I pray that you will be. I pray that I will be. But what if you're not? What if I'm not? Let's read from 1 Corinthians. But now if Christ the Messiah is preached as raised from the dead, and how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? In 941, I see you put your hand down, but if you want to comment or you have a prayer request, please raise your hand and I can come back to you. Thank you for being here with us. Reading from 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 12, but now if Christ the Messiah is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is in vain. It amounts to nothing, and your faith is devoid of truth and is fruitless, without effect, empty, imaginary, and unfounded. We are even discovered to be misrepresenting God, for we testified of him that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, in case it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is mere delusion, futile, fruitless. And you are still in your sins, under the control and penalty of sin. And further, those who have died in spiritual fellowship and union with Christ have perished, are lost. If we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are, of all people, most miserable and to be pitied. But the fact is that Christ the Messiah has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was through a man that death came into the world, it is also through a man that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as, because of their union of nature in Adam, all people die, so also, by virtue of their union of nature, shall all in Christ be made alive. But each in his own rank and turn. Christ the Messiah is the first fruits. Then those who are Christ's own will be resurrected at his coming. After that comes the end, the completion, when he delivers over the kingdom to God the Father, after rendering inoperative and abolishing every other rule and every authority and power. For Christ must be king and reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. Hallelujah. Death is not something to be feared. I hear people say, I've got to create a bucket list. I'm getting older. I wish I would have done this. I never had time to do this thing. Friend, if you are in Christ, you have all the time in the world. That's a line that in one of my favorite movies, The Time Machine. All the time in the world. We say, Dr. Nicole, that's not true. Time is finite. Time is not finite. There is the eternities of eternities. And Jesus Christ, his kingdom will exist for the eternities of eternities. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, it says, talking about the new earth and the new heaven, and there shall be no more night. They have no need for lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light. And they shall reign as kings forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. You do not need a bucket list if you are in Christ. If you have engaged in the following behaviors, number one, repent of your sins. Now, what does that word mean? You know, it's a Christianese type word. It simply means you say, that was wrong. I'm turning my back on that way of doing things, on that behavior, on those behaviors. I want to do right and be right. That's what it means to repent, to say, I'm turning my back on that. I'm sorry about it. Not only am I'm sorry, but I'm not for that behavior anymore. I'm not going to cheat anymore. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to be whatever the sin is, friend. You say, I repent of my sins. If you have engaged in that behavior, you say, I repent of my sins. If you say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I accept your payment. I accept your blood as payment for my sin debts. Thank you, Lord, for paying for my account. And then you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You are restored to sonship. Death has been abolished. However, we know there are three deaths. Death is going to death. death will be thrown in the lake of fire. But also, those who are not in Christ will be thrown in the lake of fire. That's the second death. But isn't it wonderful to know that there's coming a day, an hour, an appointed time when death will exist no more? God says the last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death, and he's going to do it. It's a promise. In the book of Revelation, it says these statements are genuine and true. So I hope that that gives you hope. I hope that it encourages you. It is a statement of fact. It's not a good idea. It's not a fantasy. It's not a wish. It is a reality. And in the book of Revelation, it says, blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy, to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. I want to thank you for being with us today. If you have a question about the book of Revelation, would you consider submitting that question to us? It matters to me that you understand the book of Revelation. It matters to me that I understand this book. And if you have a question about it, I'd be honored to get your question and to pray over your question and to seek an answer in the book of Revelation, in the Bible, to your question. You can text any question that you have about the book of Revelation to our PGN text number. That's 1-214-505-8719. Maybe you say, I want to know, when is the rapture? Or perhaps you say, I have a question about the Great Tribulation. Are Christians going to be a part of the Great Tribulation? Or maybe you say, I have a question about the wrath of God. Will we be here for the wrath of God? Are we going to experience the wrath of God? Or maybe you say, I keep hearing about the marriage supper. What's that? I want to make sure that the book of Revelation is something that we understand, because there is hope in it. There are genuine and true statements about what is happening now and what is going to happen in your future and my future. I'm so excited about this. All May, for this entire month, I will be sharing insightful presentations focused on the dead judged prophecy. As your Book of Revelation research scientist, thank you so much for listening. I will look forward to being with you again. Same time on Sunday, 12 p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. on Tuesdays. So if you missed part of the program today, I will be sharing about this information again live on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central. So I will look forward to being with you again. Thank you so much, and until next time, friend, you are blessed.